The views and opinions expressed during the drive time with Dave Glover are those of Dave and his guests, and not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment for Dave? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now, here's Dave.
And that's Moody Manitoba, of course. That's the theme song. At least that's the song I'm torturing Rob with. Rob Washburn in the chair with us this afternoon. It is time for Consider This live on Northumberland 89.7. It's Wednesday evening. Joining us today in the studio is John Henderson, Deputy Mayor of the Town of Cobourg. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Glad to have both of you. Sorry, Rob, I know I'm torturing you with Moody Manitoba.
It's all right, Dave.
It's a song he'd never heard before.
And I've heard it lots, I tell you.
He's heard a lot of stuff. So we're here. John Henderson, welcome to the studio. As I said, we're going to talk about the strategic visioning. Now, great announcement came out today that following the February 2nd regular council meeting with the municipality, received written correspondence from the municipal solicitor stating that upon further reflection, it was suggested that the corporation consider both open and closed meetings to discuss its four-year strategy. In my opinion, that was a great decision. John, can you talk about how that decision came about?
Absolutely. Initially, our CAO, Stephen Peacock, went to our solicitors and asked for a verbal confirmation because that was a question being questioned by council with material put forth by Councillor McCarthy. We took it rather seriously and we asked for a written statement to verify the verbal comments. When we received the solicitor's report, it indicated that the indication and the movement towards Bill 8, what I call the Accountability and Transparency Act, is moving towards more transparency, and the emphasis was on to have both open and closed. And based on that, I give Mayor Brockenier credit because he took the lead by simply releasing a press release, put things in motion, and try to get out as quickly as possible to the community to indicate that when we do our strategic planning in council chambers, it will indeed be both an open and closed session. So bottom line, I'm delighted that part of our mission statement in Cobourg's council is that part of it is we remain progressive. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased that we looked at it. We found the support letter needed to be changed. We didn't hesitate, and the change was made. So for me, I hope it proves to the community that this council is serious about moving forward in a very positive climate.
John, how much was council influenced by the Ontario Ombudsman's new powers in regards to municipalities? I know he's had a lot to say about open and closed sessions and how much more open municipal councils need to be.
I believe it played part and parcel because there was indication in the solicitor's report in reference to the Ontario Ombudsman and the steps that are being taken forward. So it supported that position that's being put forward in the province of Ontario.
So if I'm a resident of Cobourg and I want to become part of this, how do you see it playing out for me as a citizen? How might it take place once we get to the planning sessions?
Well, it's going to be different for all of us because I know this is a first for the town of Cobourg. My understanding is the public, media, are certainly allowed to be there at any time through any part of the planning. My understanding is it's an observational role. Not that later on you can't make comments, I guess, or let the mayor know or council members know, but it's an opportunity for us to be engaged and you watch how we're engaging and do you perceive us to be doing and acting appropriate and making good decisions on behalf of the citizens. My understanding is that citizens are not allowed at this point to ask questions or to interject during that engagement time. But you can certainly, I mean, you'll hear and you'll see everything.
But we do have an opportunity now to put our ideas forward. And so what is the current deadline for input to council for the upcoming strategic plan?
I believe the mayor set a 4 or 5 week period where we've encouraged submissions. I believe to date, in terms of general government, I believe we have 7 or 8 submissions at this time that have come to council. My answer is we'll accept them right up until certainly Tuesday night. And the reason I say Tuesday, because we start the deliberations on Wednesday.
And that's Tuesday night coming up.
Yes.
Talking about the 17th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Dave, I guess that means that if anybody's got some suggestions, now is a really good time to phone in and maybe give a couple of ideas to John and he can take back with him.
Yeah, the lines are open, 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. If you have a suggestion or something you think should be involved or a part of the strategic visioning, because what they're putting together, obviously, is a plan for the next 4 years here in the town of Cobourg. Now, there have been written submissions, I know, sent in during the last council meeting. There was some talk about that. I know Forrest Rowden said he's been approached by a number of citizens, and the mayor said he's received some things, some reports from citizens as well. So it's been very well received.
Yes.
But I really have to commend the council on their decision to do this public-private meeting, if you will. And when I say private, I mean in camera. It just displays, you know, this is what you guys were elected for, right? Openness, accountability, transparency. And I want to thank Deb McCarthy for raising the issue because it's coming out of the gate so early and to show the willingness on the, because I mean, there really wasn't any nasty back and forth on the town council. When the conversation came to that part of the meeting, to the conversation itself, it was genial. Everyone was very aware of the research that had been done by the councillors who put the motion forward. And so, again, this is just an example of why we chose the people we chose, right? These are people who are paying attention and are willing to bring these concerns to the floor. And it's great to see that the council could discuss this and then come to this kind of solution.
Well, absolutely. And I know Deborah McCarthy asked me the process under general government. I shared that with her, the steps she could take and how she could get it on the floor for discussion. And that was done exactly as announced. So I was pleased that we dialogued beforehand. And I thought it was important for her to put that forward, to have the dialogue. I had no idea where it was going to go, but I felt it was important to have it. That's the critical piece.
John, for people who have never been part of this kind of strategic planning, and I know you were involved with it for the last council, could you maybe map out for us what is the process that you'll be going through to create a strategic plan?
Well, absolutely. First of all, like many strategic plans, we do bring in a facilitator, Ms. Carolyn Kearns will be with us. She was with us in the last strategic plan. She'll start to review again the mission, the vision, the values that are standard to almost every organization in Cobourg, whether a business or the Northumberland Hills Hospital. Even the Best Western, I would like to believe, has a mission, vision, and values. Mm-hmm. And to ask the question, does ours still fit, even though it's only 4 years old? Does it need to be revisited? There's some citizens already who indicate it, perhaps. We need to look at that already. When we go through that part, then we'll start to address specific areas of interest. And how that has been traditionally done is we ask normally the councillors, deputy mayor and mayor, to step forward and on certain charts put ideas that they have, that they've heard from citizens, based on our last strategic plan that perhaps we didn't finish, and they'll go up on a chart. So, for example, it could be tannery. It could be marina plan. It could be CCC campus development plan. Mm-hmm. It could be budget. It could be a number of things. And typically what's done when we feel we have a listing, a composite, then council traditionally was giving a certain number of stickers. and we're limited in those stickers, to try and decide collectively, do we have a sense of priority? Because, again, my priority may not be Deborah McCarthy's, Councillor McCarthy's priority, or it may not be Councillor Darlene's priority. And so at the end of it, we try to come up with what are the key focus areas, and then we start from the top down, what has the highest need, and then we try to put it under specific headings so that it makes sense. I believe we would try to follow our last plan in terms of the parameters, because I thought it worked really well in terms of the headings. But again, that could be up for change. And then we start to map out what that looks like. Once we create the parameters of what we feel is important to the community, then the job of staff under the CAO is to take that and take it away with staff and show us how they're going to start to work the process, how are they going to make that happen, and then collectively what do the timelines look like, because some things will have a very high priority, some will be a medium, some will be very long term, because some we may not even finish in 4 years. Some may be, many terms of council may be ongoing. So that will then be mapped out. Once that's mapped out and you can actually understand it in terms of its components, that my information is we've always shared that at that point, that what we call a draft, with the public and the community to say, okay, we tried to take your ideas, we tried to encompass, we can't do everything under the sun, but this appears like it will be our key focuses. Traditionally, we have, I would say, five headings, 3 to 5 major goals under each heading, and the idea is to try and to accomplish those some order over a term of council. I can tell you, based on our last one, we probably end up achieving 75 to 80% of the goals we actually completed, but some goals actually we didn't get to, or they carry over.
Well, let's talk about that.
That was going to be my next question. We're both sitting here looking at each other going, all right, so what got left on the table and what didn't get picked up?
But before we get to that, I think there's something really important. You talked about a mission statement, and Dave's spot on, but I think it's important to let the listeners know that, you know, you guys talked about responsible governance in the last one, effective, accessible service, and consistent best practices being your mission statement.
Yes.
So out of those, what did you not or did you get done in terms of those missions and goals?
Well, I certainly feel we're progressive. I feel, obviously, we're part of a lakeside community, and we respect our heritage. And that's proven because this council just approved the Heritage Master Plan, which will take effect for the next year and a half in Cobourg. And I think that will bring us up to a new level, because our present Heritage Master Plan, even though we're well respected in Ontario for our heritage, it's about 23 years out of date. So there's an example where we've taken an idea, but it won't actually start until this term of council. I think we're always working as a council at establishing best practices. I can't tell you that we have absolute best practices in every single category. So, for example, one area I believe, I won't know for sure until we meet, that I believe we need to look at, for example, our IT technology and both hardware and software, and eventually to develop a technology plan. But more importantly, with that technology plan, as part of that, how are you going to use those aspects to communicate and to get the information out to the community on a first-hand basis? And I believe that that would be certainly one area that I like to believe this council will certainly consider. We're constantly reviewing how do we communicate, how can we be doing it better, and how do we reach our audience. And included within that, of course, would be a total revisit of our websites. What kind of progress can we make as a council? And I guess the best example I can use where we did make progress, when I first came to council, were paper ballot for elections. And we're one of the first councils to go electronic. Mm-hmm. When I came to council in our first term, we were paper for everything. Paper agenda, paper printouts, paper color-coded. Now we have Surface Pro 3s. We have Wi-Fi in chambers. I think we've been really progressive, bringing an electronic format, not just to council, but even for budget. Our budget's gone to an electronic format. So, but I believe the onus is upon this council to continue to look at our practices and how can we make them better. I know just recently with council, I was working with staff and the clerk's department, and even though it's been short order, we did rewrite the total policy and procedure book for council because we thought it already needed to have different amendments and different changes.
Go ahead.
So again, we know the strategic visioning took place 4 years ago, and we've got the same convener coming back. Can we talk a little bit about what has been left on the board and how easily transition that's going to be to the new strategic vision? Or is that stuff that, if anything that didn't happen before, is that just gone by the wayside?
It depends, because that will be council's decision. If they feel it was on but doesn't have merit at this point, mm-hmm. One example could be, I know we've always had Victoria Square. Victoria Square project was started approximately 12 years ago. I believe the first three phases were completed, but phase four was never finished, mm-hmm. as suggested by the community. So there's a good example. We didn't touch that in our past term. So the question is it time to keep that as a potential priority, mm-hmm. or is the time to say, you know what, times have changed. Perhaps we'll put that on hold. But perhaps we'll now go into a different direction. As I mentioned, we have the IT communications plan. We're certainly going to have the CCC campus development plan. Without question, I believe we're going to have the marina and waterfront plan. That's important to pretty much every citizen in Cobourg.
Mm-hmm.
We have the importance of asset management plans that we've initiate it in the last council, but I believe we have to continue to do them. And in last council, we were working on the official plan and the zoning bylaws draft number 4, but we need to finalize those definitely in this term of council. So there's an example where we've been working on that for roughly a 3-year period, mm-hmm. believe it or not, but we do need to finalize it in this term of council.
The economy is always at the top of mind for a lot of people. And in the last strategic plan, you talked about ensuring that there people were getting living wage jobs. You talked about the importance of being able to live and work in Cobourg. You also talked about increasing industrial and commercial tax base and that businesses would start, stay, and expand in Cobourg, as well as the town working together with businesses in terms of promotion. How successful do you think you've been in reaching those objectives?
Well, if I'm going to give you this, this would be, I want to be clear here. I'm not speaking on behalf of council. This would be my perspective. I feel we've made very minimal gains because when I look at the actual manufacturing numbers, the bottom line is they haven't come back. We have some new businesses. But we still have very much a gap in numbers. It's no surprise that we have 15 open stores or empty stores and counting. So I'm really at the point that I would very much like to see us work on an amended economic development plan. I'd very much like to see that linked to council strategic plan. I'd very much like it to be linked to the new Downtown Coalition Advisory Committee that's being created, that Council just approved. And how does that all fit into the initiatives under the Downtown Vitalization Plan that includes both the Heritage Building Asset Inventory, the Tourism Asset Study, and lastly, the question of a venture initiative corporation or plan? Where are those events going for this council, and how important are they? And I must say, we have conflicting information from the community, because I meet someone on the community and they say, great, new initiative, new ideas, a new way of doing business. And then I hear from other citizens who say, don't go there at all. It's not your job. It's the job of banks and businesses, independent firms. That's not what you're to be doing with our money. So it's something that council is going to have to come to grips with, because I do believe, and I concur with you, Rob, that probably one of the most important functions we have is try to bring an economic spirit back to downtown Coburg.
In top five priorities, you'd say there's five priorities. Where does the economy fit? One to five.
Number one.
All right. So then if that's true, what happened with the partnership with the county? That was one of your strategic goals last time around. How's that coming?
I would say it's developing. From the feedback we get from Mayor Brockenier, I know that there have been a lot of initiation of projects. I know for now that the clerks now meet, the finance departments in the different municipalities are meeting. They're now meeting on public works and what they could do collectively together. I know they're starting to share GIS information.
But how does that help us get jobs?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, it's great you guys are meeting, but I mean, let's be honest. It comes down to jobs in the end and economic stimulation. I guess the thing is, you keep talking about the downtown, and I know the downtown's important, no question about it. But why are we always talking about the downtown? Where's the overall comprehensive vision for this? Because one of the things that you talked about was exploring opportunities for promotion, updating the economic development strategy.
Yeah.
Where's the overall vision for this?
I believe it's going to be developed. I'm hoping it will certainly be developed with council support through the venture initiative. I'd love to see.
What's that?
That's a model that was used in Winnipeg. When the mayor was Mr. Murray, who's now with the provincial government. I understand Winnipeg is a different set of standards, but what they did, they worked with partners, Community Futures Development Corporation, provincial funding, independent business, and they worked together to create a model so you could have a model building where, say, the ground floor would be business-related for Coburg. The second and third units could be residential living units. And could we make that work as a model and start to input business? I know recently this type of initiative was done in Collingwood. It was done under what's called the Tremont Hotel. And right now they've been rather successful. It's one building. But I know their bottom floor is filled with tenants that pay rent. Residential's filled. And last I was in Collingwood, which is about a month ago, they have a small waiting list for those trying to get in case anybody moves out. And this independent owner who's made these gains with cooperation from the town of Collingwood has now purchased his second building. Again, a slow process. But I'm very pleased that there's an example where growth is actually taking place and jobs, even though there are jobs perhaps in the 6 to 10 range or below 6, depending on the skill and focus, it is happening in Collingwood.
I'm going to stop you right there, John. We're going to take a quick break and pay some bills, and we'll be right back with more of our conversation. You're listening to Consider This Live on Northumberland 89.7. This is The Drive Time.
The story you are about to hear is true.
Ed White fixed my refrigerator. And
he did a great job. Now I don't need to buy a new fridge. And if I don't get a new fridge, then I won't need a whole new kitchen to go with it. So my guy is saying Ed White saved him $20,000.
Guys, save 20 grand. Call Ed White Appliance Service in Port Hope at 905-885-7109.
Yes, it is worth fixing.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Jim McGrath understands that as much as we don't want to talk about it, wills and estate planning is a responsible thing to do for you and your family. With his help, you can reflect on your values and wishes and have a legal direction to let others know what kind of health and personal care you would want if you could not speak for yourself. Jim McGrath has been a lawyer for over 30 years, and he understands the law, so you don't have to. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones to call Jim McGrath today at 905-373-1999.
Hometown Bingo is your community connection for fun and excitement 7 days a week. This month at Hometown Bingo,
Monday at 7 p.m. Bingo, 3 strip books are only $5. Tuesday is back to basic bingo. No verifiers will be played, and we will be playing the Accumulator, Players Progressive, Mini Progressive, and the Toonie Pot. At the Wednesday 7 p.m. Bingo, you can purchase a $60 verifier and receive a free 5-strip book, a $20 savings. Thursday at 7 p.m., the paper price is only $2 per strip.
Hometown Bingo in Colburn, 884 Division Street, just south of Elgin on the east side. And check out their website, hometownbingo.ca. You've gone and done it again. You agreed to plan your company's dinner party. Where will you hold it this year? Of course, there's nowhere better to hold large events than at the Legion Hall in Colburn. Hold your receptions and private parties at the Legion Hall, and you can get them catered. Call Shelley at 905-372-6554 and book the Legion for your event today. And call Sue at 905-342-2087 for catering.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Coburg. Call 905-372-2231 and become a member today.
Hi, this is Dave Smith, certified home inspector and the host of Reality Realty, 89.7 Northumberland's new one-hour home inspection show.
Hi, folks. This is Dale Bryant, real estate broker here in Northumberland County. Dave, Reality Realty isn't just about home inspection. It's our new show every Thursday morning, and it's about everything real estate here in our community.
So, Dale, what you're saying is it'll be 50-50 home inspection and real estate.
Is that the way it's going to be every week, Dave? Read the name of the show, Reality Realty. That says it all.
Every Thursday morning, 11 to 12, right here on 89.7 Northumberland, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the Drive Time. Here you are listening to the live version of Consider This. With me in the studio, Rob Washburn. He is the e-journalism professor at Loyalist College, as well as my partner in the chair on Wednesday evenings. And John Henderson is with us. He's the deputy mayor of Coburg. We've been talking about economic development. Now, during the break, I've been speaking to the mayor sort of offhand lately. Every time I run into him, I ask him questions. That's just what I do. And we talked about economic development. Now, for a number of years, there really has been sort of this banging our heads together thing between Port Hope's economic development, Coburg's economic development, and the county. It seems as though everyone's trying to reinvent the wheel. They're all going after the same companies. But I understand from talking to the mayor that there's actually an effort being put forth now to try and say, okay, guys, let's not reinvent the wheel here. Let's work together. Let's try and find businesses that will be a perfect fit in West Northumberland. If they're going to go to Port Hope, great. If they're going to go to Coburg, great. If they're going to go somewhere else in the county. But the goal should be, like they did down in Picton and down in the county, as they say, to work together. Are we seeing more of that, you think, John? Is there now a willingness to say, let's bury the hatchet over this petty stuff?
Absolutely. And I think what the major focuses for that was when the government mandated to the county of Northumberland that they had to complete their very first official plan. All seven municipalities were together. I acted as part of the steering committee on that. The first draft has gone into the ministry. And the reason that's so important, because if we want to create a major initiative with land use development with Hamilton and Pass, the ministry say, well, that's fabulous. We'd love to be there to see that, support it. First question, do you have an official plan? And we had to admit that the county did not. And so the real message came down, until you develop a unified official plan that integrate the different components, that type of growth would not be supported or promoted. And so I'm really delighted that that has gone forward. We agreed on trading of lands because, as you know, in Places to Grow document, because we're not defined as a growth area, mm-hmm. we have to trade lands. In other words, we can't be in excess of any time over our allotment. So we end up having the 7 municipalities agree on what lands they were willing to give up to be designated to another land use that would enable employment lands to be defined. And those employment lands have been defined. They're going forward to the ministry, and they're along the 401 corridor, and a lot of them involve Hampton Township and mm-hmm. Port Hope. So we're already trying to make plans. I can't express the company, but we have certain companies who are certainly willing to step up mm-hmm. and go forward in future development, but it would be a collaborative effort. So it would be a collaborative effort between, at this point, potentially, Port Hope, Hampton, and Coburg. And where we see the benefit, if this were to take place, mm-hmm. even though the actual building, let's pretend for a moment, ends up in Hamilton, but indirectly we all benefit because perhaps they'll buy a home in Coburg, they'll come to the activities in Coburg, they might buy their home in Coburg.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be employing Coburg or Port Hope residents for sure.
Correct. And we're looking for companies, hopefully, that will bring in, looking for a certain degree of skills. So our hope is that these wouldn't be part-time jobs. They would be full-time jobs, good-paying jobs, mm-hmm. With long-term employment. So I concur with you that I feel we're starting to do a better job in that regard, and we're doing a far better job blending. I know in tourism, the county did a phenomenal job of how to they attract through bookings and placements, through use of the web electronically, and they promoted that. The question is, how do we buy in and fit in without recreating and using the same resources? And I believe, without question, under Dan Borowick, that's being done.
It's interesting. Today I got a press release came across my desk at the newsroom at the college that now they're having a certified site initiative by the province, that if you have lands that are certified for development, you meet certain criteria, mm-hmm. they will put it up on the international and national websites for the Ontario.
We're government. Already doing that.
That's really interesting, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about, and you know, everyone knows I'm a champion of the downtown for obvious reasons, but you know, a lot of people, and they've said to you, I know they've said to other councillors, you know, why is all this focus on the downtown? You know, they're private business, they're private, they should be looking after their own interests, they shouldn't have to rely on taxpayer dollars. And my response to that is always the same. Well, you know, when Kraft was here, the town did everything it could to try and ensure Kraft maintained its employment, tried to maintain its employment levels, and stayed here. Same thing with companies like Belden and other companies that are operated here. The largest employer is the downtown, and I can't say this enough. If we allow the downtown to just run itself, let business regulate itself, how eager are companies going to be to relocate here when there really isn't anything for their employees, when there's nothing for their management that they bring in, that they bring to town, when there's no sort of shopping district? I mean, right now we have that. Right now we're trying to foster and develop that and trying to bring growth. That's why we have the Vitalization Project yeah. going. I mean, I know it's a tough argument. I know as a town councilor, you hear it from a lot of people. We seem to waste a lot of money on the downtown, and they've, you know, they're not doing enough for themselves. And how do you square that? I mean, people say, well, the stores should be open later if they want to attract business, or they should be open on Sundays. I mean, is that something that the town is trying to get the downtown businesses
absolutely.
On board with?
As you know, the town was involved in both surveys. There was a survey done that's out for the public, both with businesses as with Coburg citizens. And it was very clear to members who might be membership of the Downtown Business Improvement Area Board that we're asking them to relook at their practices. And can you look at best practices that are being used in other communities with success? Very much what you spoke about, consistent hours, shuffling the hours, alternating, doing themes together, mm-hmm. looking at the calendar so we're not competing, for example, when I apologize, the community to the far east of us has their Taste Festival, and they attract like 500 people on the weekend. Well, perhaps that's not the best weekend we want to run a major event.
True enough.
But if we look collectively of how we can do that and how we can get better tie-in, I would like to see personally, I believe we're working on that, a better link from the DBIA to town practices. I'd like to see that tied into the Northumberland Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to see that tied into tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of us all trying to compete, for example, all trying to do marketing, all trying to do our own website, all trying to get the same releases, the question I'm asking is, why aren't we working ourselves in a partnership to make that happen? Because if all three of us were to define in our strategic plan how best to use those dollars, I like to believe we could reach more people in the community and hopefully save dollars. Because right now we have a lot of, in my opinion, I'm starting to see a lot of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
If repetition and cooperation are something you're talking about quite a bit, why don't we just go to a single tier at the county level then?
Well, that is, back to your question, what's happened, you can see what's happened politically. If I'm not mistaken, I know the county just released the budget this year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'll be right when I'm saying they're near the $100 million mark.
That's correct.
Coburg will be, for a better word, between 20 and 25 million. I know the county has just undertaken the planning authority delegation for both Hampton Township. I believe Hellam and Crammy. I hope I'm correct on that. And they've also taken it on for, I apologize, one other municipality. So the plumbing and with the wells has now been undertaken by the county. So at this point, the one municipality that asked for planning authority was the town of Brighton. And my understanding at this point, they have been denied by the provincial government. So the question to be asked is it time, or is that a discussion that should happen now that the official plan's done? Should this move towards a concept of either Northumberland County or West Northumberland versus East Northumberland? Because I know Trent Hills is certainly part and very important part of our municipality. But I also know they're sometimes way over there, and sometimes I know they have a lot of relations with Quinte West.
Mm-hmm.
So would the political will be there once the Northumberland County official plan gets approved? Would that be worth looking at? Because when you start to compare the departments, in terms of departments like public works,
planning, roads and things like that.
Yeah, they're really starting to match.
Are you prepared to put a motion up then to have a serious study done about one single tier?
At this point, I'd be prepared to have dialogue with my council because I don't know at this point even truly how aware the newer councils are even aware that the county developed a plan. I'd like to see what the ministry is going to suggest once it gets approved and what's that look like. And the real question to be asked is the planning authority, because I know Coburg specifically right now asked to maintain, it's called planning delegation authority. We did not want to lose our planning status at this point, because once we lose that, then you're quite right, we'd probably be moving to under the umbrella of a Northumberland County model. And at that time, I believe we'd have to ask the question. Because there is going to come a time, I believe, due to today's economics, that we're going to be saturated because with what's happening in the world, in economics.
Mm-hmm.
Residents and people only have a percentage that they can work towards. And I believe we're getting close, if we're not already, to some of those saturation points.
How most of the strategic plans go for the term of council. What about long-term planning? Don't we need a longer-term vision, say 10, 15, 25 years down the road?
Having been part of a educational background that used to do 10-year planning, I probably would not concur that that works as well any longer. And the reason being because I find the speed of change is affecting municipal council just as it affects a business or an industry or an educational institution. And I also feel that with four-year term of council, you don't know who your new makeup of council will be and how dramatic that change will be. So I really do like that you review it every 4.5 years, understanding, however, that a town's official plan, the zoning bylaws, which really govern a lot of your land use policies, are in effect from at least 7 to 10 year period. And if you look at our master plan, our old master plan, it was in effect for 23 years. So I like to believe that forces, I hate to use the word force, but I believe it forces council to look at where they are in relation to the community. No, I don't think that's a bad thing.
But what about a vision, a long-term vision for the area? I mean, don't we run prey to whatever the whims of whatever group of councillors is in for a four-year period, and whether that is going to take the, you know, things like the economy? I mean, you know, you want to create long-term jobs. You don't want to just, you know, well, what's the flavor of the minute or what's the idea of the minute? I mean, you know, these are big
bucks. Well, you make a valid point, because I'll use the Chinese as an example. The Chinese never, from what I understand of their learned experience, they never look at things in 5 and 10 year periods. They try to envision things what it might look like 40 and 50 because they're in there for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's worth a concept worth exploring. I do believe we have that in some cases, because I know we put the CCC campus master plan that's coming forward during this term of council. It's a plan that's to run from things starting perhaps slowly this year. My understanding is for the next 25 years, very much the waterfront plan. It's coming in. It will work from the first year for the next 20, 25 years. We have the heritage plan. It's supposed to be developed by spring of 2016. It should be at least workable for a minimum of 10 years. So what council is putting forward these plans, I don't believe we're doing so with such a short-term vision that when a new council comes in, it gets all thrown out. I believe it is there for the long term.
How much is this whole process going to cost, this strategic plan process? I mean, you're inviting a facilitator. There's obviously costs associated. Do you know how much council's put aside for it?
I'm sorry, Rob, what plan
I'm sorry,
was
the
that?
Cost for the strategic visioning sessions that you're going to be having.
You'd have to ask the mayor himself. I know from my past experiences, strategic planning could run in the range of $3,000 to $5,000 range to have someone come in to facilitate. But the only person who could confirm that would certainly be His Worship or perhaps Mr. Davey, finance.
Well, it definitely will be somebody anyway. We got a caller coming through though, so
go ahead. You are on the air, sir.
Hello
there.
Yeah, I'd like to make a bit of a comment here. we're talking about downtown sections and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I look around Coburg, I see a lot of businesses on Division Street, Burnham Street, William Street. There's the Westwood Plaza, the Walmart area, and there's even several businesses moving into the Kraft building. They're fixing it up, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there's several buildings moving in there. I was just wondering, my first question would be, how much input do they get in the plan from out of the main core area? Like, is there any kind of input there? And how do they, you know, maybe try and keep the entrances of the town, you know, somewhat, you know, without just endless car lots and stuff like that?
I didn't hear the question. I apologize.
So the question really is...
Well, my question is basically, given Division Street, Burnham, William, Westwood, all that, all the outer core areas,
mm-hmm.
how much input on these strategic plans do they get from out of core areas? I know the downtown sections of both towns are very active, but do they get input from the outer rings of the town as towards a strategic plan?
Okay, that's a good question, Ed.
The group, I would say that from my experience, being the counselor of planning and development in the past term of council, there was certainly strong input both from West Park Village, a new Amherst residence.
Mm-hmm.
They're very clear on how they like their neighborhood to be, what they like to see the linkage patterns be to commercial and business outlets, how they like to see trails developed in that part of the town developed and linked to the waterfront. So I would have to say certainly from that newer section,
mm-hmm.
It's been a strong positive comments made.
But those are residents we're talking about, right?
Yes.
I think the question really is, we know the DBIA and the downtown businesses have a lot of input in the strategic vision. What input are we getting from other business, whether it be the Westwood or the mall or these other commercial entities? What kind of input are they getting, or do they have the same opportunity as the DBIA?
Absolutely. When we speak of Coburg, someone often would ask me, well, as a councillor, deputy mayor, which ward do you represent? And my answer is, we don't have wards. We try to represent the entire community. So when we say a strategic planning session, we mean that in essence for every part of Coburg, whether you're located by St. Mary's or you're up in what we call the heart of, it was just mentioned, of Westwood Drive, Westwood Mall, whether you're up by Staples or whether you're on the far opposite side, many citizens are asking, well, what is happening to the East End? And I can tell you that before I got on to council, there is what's called an East Secondary Plan that has been developed of promoting what that growth could and might look like by 2034. And if you read the document, not that everything's going to hold true, but by 2034, they're estimating if Coburg stays on the path it is, we will double our population by that time. That is the prediction based on current growth patterns. So, in summary, my answer is, if you live in any part of Coburg, even up to the north, just prior to the 401, you can certainly make any comments to council in regard of any concern or interest.
Do you get much from the businesses out of the core?
Are you hearing from those businesses?
I would say to you, in reality, no.
Okay.
I'm not going to
sugarcoat it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get stopped a lot in the street, and I get questions that way. I get that pretty much every other day, and I listen to those. But if you're asking for actual written submissions to council, my answer would be no.
Yeah. I was wondering, could I ask or make another comment?
Certainly. Yeah. We got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. You talk about the downtown vitalization, and as a business, there's like no money available for all this type of stuff. And I heard Dave and Jim or whatnot talking about before, and they were saying, well, basically, if these guys can't fix up their stores, they should just sell them. Well, they're not selling either. So,
well, that's true. There's no market for them either, right?
There's no market. There's mm-hmm. no money available.
Mm-hmm.
If you get slapped with a repair order, what do you do? You know, like, what's going to happen? You know, like, the town come in and fix it up and then just put it on your tax bill and, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's one thing to say that we need, you know, that different businesses need to, you know, make everything accessible for everybody and that this has got to have certain colors and certain kind of windows and everything else,
mm-hmm.
certain fire escapes, all this other kind of stuff. If the money is not available, what do you do?
And that is, I guess, the $24,000 question, or perhaps some people
$100,000. Well, yeah, somewhere in that area, yeah.
Yeah, because you're quite right, and that's why we're trying to look at improving things like our master plan heritage, because within that, the government's allowing municipalities to consider new bylaws to increase that percentage, mm-hmm. both in grants or incentive or a combination of. Mm-hmm. I think we have to start to look at our tax base. Can we adjust our tax rate for business? Can we do that? Can we seriously look at those ideas? Because you're quite right. When you're running a business and you're struggling to maintain business, and you might have a tenant, but they're barely making their rent, and you're right, you got a major repair or paint job. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is you're working extreme hours. I know that as a business owner. You've got little capital access. So the bottom line is you do require a partnership to be successful. I looked at some state models. It's interesting because in the states, the towns come in and actually help businesses. And they give them X number of years on a reduced portion. Mm-hmm. And if they stay X number of years to the community, they're able to do write-offs as a tax incentive. Now, okay. We're asking how could we ever do that here, because the Municipal Act at present, the way it's written, does not allow municipalities to do that.
That's right.
So this council, I believe, is interested, along with the Economic Development Department, mm-hmm. what can we do to form a partnership to make this work for businesses so you can start up, so you can sit in roots, and so that people would come down and hopefully visit you, and over time, you'd be here long term, because the idea is to be here long term. So I agree, it's a question we have to solve, because I don't believe that you can do it on your own. I've heard some people go to banks for support, and mm-hmm. I've got the greatest respect for banks, but I'm also not hearing that you're getting any kind of significant loan from a bank.
They're not a lot of help. No.
I hope that answers your question, Ed.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. One thing I want to state, though, because I know when we did our restaurant makeover, the town and the province, but the town primarily, they do have low interest loans or grants you can get for development. So that is something that the community and the town has been doing to help businesses. And of course, you know, as long as you maintain your regular payment on that, you pay that loan off, you know, no interest. Right. And if you do get behind, what ends up happening is it gets rolled into your property tax bill anyway. So there are those programs available for business owners. The real motivator, or the real lack of motivation in our community, is the perception anyway, is that property owners don't want to spend the money. They just don't have the money, or they just don't want to spend the money, or they don't want to get into this idea of having to borrow the money. And that's something that we need to get around, because you can't revitalize or vitalize your downtown if the stakeholders don't want to participate. Is that something you think has been a roadblock in this process so far, John?
Absolutely. I think we've had tremendous old families who've been here I've been here 30 years and have been here longer than 30 years.
So you're still a newcomer as well, then?
Absolutely. And they're at the point where, you know, they're getting older. They might like to retire. Mm-hmm. So they're not willing to perhaps go through the hoops and jumps and what they did when they first arrived here. So I know there has been a push to ask the famous question, would you be interested in selling your building? Would you allow someone else to come in
and do the
new
work,
ideas, and fresh ideas, and have new opportunities? So I can tell you, in the last 2 months of council, I believe 5 buildings downtown have new ownership. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that's a perfect answer, but it's a start.
It is the answer. Well, we've reached 7 o'clock, and we've got – I guess I got to go to my next track here. But I want to thank John for being here. Sorry, Rob. I know you had one more question. We're going to go over time. I know the Cedar Rail guys hate it when I'm here, because I always go over time and it cuts into their time. So I want to thank you guys for being here. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in to another edition of Consider This.
We'll be back next week with more. Rob, you know what I'm going to go for? You got one more question you want to ask John before we wrap this baby up?
No, I just was going to say it would be really nice if we had had time to make our own suggestions for the strategic vision. We've lost this opportunity. I say watch for my column in the newspaper. We'll get some stuff out there, and I hope you'll have a chance to get your suggestions out there too, so it's we get our input too.
Absolutely. And I want to thank the listeners for your calls. Ed, always a pleasure to hear from you. Here's the bells. Here's Moody, Manitoba. We're going to go right into that, and right from that, of course, into the Sea to Rail show. Sorry, guys, we're going to go over by a couple of minutes, but what can you do when you have great conversation like this? I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time. I'll be back tomorrow with so much more here on Northumberland 89.7.